Good morning. Welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. The whole gang's here. I'm Jay Thomas. Good morning, Rick. Good
morning.
And good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
How's everybody?
Good. Two thumbs up.
Yeah?
Two thumbs up.
Awesome.
Had a great week. It's been nice and sunny.
It's the middle of July.
My plants are looking great. My containers have finally, with this heat, have taken off.
Yeah, our containers. I was telling my wife last night, it says, oh, the containers all of a sudden just went poof.
Us too. Yeah, same thing in our house. Yep. It finally took that. Everything was so slow for so long. You know, I know it was 18, 22, 23 degrees. Yep. We were getting those temperatures. We need that like nice hot heat to get some stuff to go bang.
Even the tomatoes, like there's tomatoes by our back step going into the garage, and they were kind of sitting there. I had to be careful I didn't step on them and that kind of stuff, get into the tap and that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden I go, whoa.
There they are.
They grow a foot.
So, that's incredible. Right on.
Well, it looks like this is the last warmer day in our area in Saskatoon for a couple of days, and we got a little bit of rain coming this week, and then kind of
low 20s
this week. Yeah. So it's a great week to fertilize.
Great for fertilizing, great watering, because if it's going to water, like you said, Jill, great for the fertilizer, great for the farmers. I went out and fertilized on Friday.
I'm planning to do it today.
So,
yeah, that's the plan. Get it done today.
Yep.
Another round on. I'm like one of those guys that likes a really, you know what? The thing is, I like a really nice lawn, but also it's so much less work. Actually, hear me out, right?
Yep.
Because when you have a thin, sparse lawn, there's weeds everywhere you got to take care of.
Yeah, people are talking about, you know, the bluebells. They're talking about, you know, they're talking about portulaca. They're talking about dandelions. They're talking about ants.
Even clover. Yeah. I'm seeing in my neighborhood more and more lawns have clover moving into them.
Yep.
And I don't think it's on purpose. So, but I find a few here and there in mine. Pluck them out, and they do have like a single tap root, so they're actually not too hard to get out, which is nice. They're pretty easy, especially if you have a bit of moisture in your lawn, then that's okay. But the thick grass keeps a bit of check in that, because some of the other thinner lawns in my neighborhood, man, the clover is just moved right in.
And people, ants, they're seeing ants in their lawn and the garden, that kind of stuff, but especially in the lawn. And that's usually in a thinner lawn as well, right? The drier, thinner lawn, that's where usually the ants will say, this is perfect.
I'm having trouble in just one little patch of my lawn, and it's every year the same thing, and I'm racking my brain what it could be. But I think because where it is kind of on the direction to like the gate on my back fence.
Yep.
I'm thinking there must be a sidewalk underneath my grass at some point in time, and there's maybe a little bit more sand, so it dries out a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yep.
So I'm going to adjust, Corey's going to adjust my sprinklers, and maybe we can get them crossing a little bit more.
Or on the old acreage, remember we had that one patch by the Man Canada ash tree?
Yeah.
And that was because it was right where the reflection came off of our big windows.
Yeah.
And then right onto that lawn right there.
Yep.
I noticed it one day. I didn't realize why. And all of a sudden I saw the sun, you know, reflecting onto that spot. And I said, okay, that's what's happening. It's like a magnifying glass, you know.
Stuff though with a home, like your home is from the 70s or 80s, right, Jill?
80s,
it's the 80s. But that's like a 40-year history now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to know what was where originally.
Yeah, exactly.
With 40 years of history. If you've owned a home since brand new, you kind of have a pretty good idea, you know, especially if you did your own landscaping. But when you buy a house that has been around for 30 years or 20 years or even 50 or 60 years, man, you know, it's really hard to know. Was there ever a garage here? Was there a patio stone?
Well, and there used to be really large spruce trees in my yard.
Right?
So I'm trying to figure out where those used to be. And I can kind of tell by where the mushrooms are growing in my yard because I know that there's old roots underneath there. So, it's a lot of a guessing game and figuring out your yard as you go.
Well, we've got a whole bunch of texts and a whole bunch of calls already. So Pat and Wendy, hang on. You guys are up next. First on the list, early bird getting the worm, is Eileen in Saskatoon. Good morning, Eileen. How are you doing?
Just fine, thank you.
Excellent.
A little upset about my poor nice rose bush for the last 2 years. You know, something's been eating the leaves, and I've been, like I told the last fellow I talked to there, that I had bought BTK.
Called.
Yeah, and Bug X out from two girls' suggestion over there at Dutch Growers.
Yep.
Neither one of them has worked.
Okay, what does the leaves look like after they've been eaten? After they've had the chewing on them,
lots of holes in them.
Just
and then they're just they look like they've just died and are all whizzled up. You know, it was so beautiful when it started out this year, but all of a sudden, there it goes, and I've been spraying it with that BX out.
Yep, Bug X out.
And it doesn't help.
Okay,
no.
So are the
holes... Not Bug X out, it's the BTK
yep.
I've been using.
Are the holes just in just round holes in amongst the leaf, or is it a round hole around the from the edge of the leaf and in, like a half moon, or how does it look like?
It kind of looks like it's from the center out.
From the center out. See, the only thing from the
side, yeah,
from the center out, because it's if there's two things that happen, does it look like it's like transparent or like a paper looking thing? You can almost see through the leaf
after it's done.
No,
because there's
still green, but they're full of holes and
full of holes
half there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because if they have brown, where first of all where it gets brown first in the middle, then it could be a pear slug. It's a fly that is basically like a sawfly that lays an egg, and then it looks like a little tiny little slug, and it sucks holes in the leaves basically. But you'll see it being brown first, and then that will fall out, and then it'll just be a round hole. Okay.
Okay.
So then the bug X out will work on them, but if it's a it's a fungal. And which it could be as well. And the biggest thing you gotta watch for roses, you have to water at the roots. You can't have the sprinklers over the top. Because if water sits on the leaves on roses during the day, it's like this little droplets of water is like the sun hits a magnifying glass and burns a little hole in the leaf. Okay? And so make sure that you're watering in the morning so that when the sun comes out, it dries up the leaves. If you have to water over top, you got no other choice because the lawn sprinklers come on or something. But if you're watering by hand, water at the roots, not over top of the plant.
And this time of year, the slugs have probably all gone to the fly stage.
There's some kind of transparency, my son says.
Yeah, there is some kind of transparency. Yeah.
Then it might be the pear slug then. And pear slug, they're on the
gotta be.
And they're on the bottom side of the leaf. If you just spray the top of the leaf, you won't get them.
Oh.
Okay.
With what though?
Just that Bug X out.
Bug X out.
Yep. And they spray the bottom of the leaves, not the top of the leaves.
Okay.
Okay.
And keep working keep working with that one. Thank
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome, Eileen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
1-877-332-8255. That's a very interesting one.
Yep.
Complicated to figure that out sometimes, but
there's multiple things that can be going on with
and that's
with
the whole
roses.
Thing. You just have to sort of break down into what's going on. A lot of times, if you're near a garden center or a greenhouse in your area, just bring a leaf, put a leaf in a Ziploc bag, and bring it into the garden center. And a lot of times, we can actually see it and have a better diagnosis.
There you go. We've got three people on the line. Brian wants to talk about cucumbers. Pat has a Mancana ash question, and Wendy wants to talk about drainage in containers. But gang, hang on. We got to go to our first break. So Brian, Pat, Wendy, you guys are all up next with our phone calls, and then we'll get to our text line after that. Stay tuned. More coming up. I'm Jay with Rick and Jill. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Happy Sunday and welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We got lots of texts and lots of calls. This is good. It's going to be a busy show today, which is great. Brian, Pat coming up, and then Dave after that. Waiting the longest right now is Wendy, who's in Saskatoon. Good morning, Wendy. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you. I couldn't wait to call you guys this morning.
Oh, that's exciting. Thanks for that.
Very good.
So I've got these two containers, and in them there was some beautiful greens, foliage, like ivy and that kind of thing. And it was full. They're full. I've had them in the past. They grow beautifully. They're in these new containers, and so they were just getting watered every day, and they're very hardy. And yesterday I noticed they were they weren't doing well. They were, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? They were just like, they were waterlogged is what they were.
Okay.
I checked them, and they were just like literally sitting in mud, in wet mud. Mm-hmm. So I immediately took them out to, I don't know what to do. I took them out, I want to dry the roots maybe, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it sounds exactly what you said. They're waterlogged. There's probably not enough drainage or not enough holes in the bottom of the pot.
Some of the new pots they have actually, they're made to be put another pot inside of sometimes, right? And so then what happens then is that they have a little spot on the bottom where you have to drill a hole through, because and it stands up inside the pot about 2 inches off the floor of the pot. And what happens is when you have a reservoir, it fills up, and once it gets up to the top of that little I don't know what you call it.
Spigot.
It's like a spigot that sticks up in the bottom of the pot. Then it drains out. But you have to actually drill that out, because some people don't want that spigot because they have another pot inside that pot, and they're using it as a tray and as a decorative cover. So that's what you have to look for. Turn over the side of the pot and make sure that there actually is a hole.
So a few things that what you can do to save your plants. It sounds like you've caught it now. It is quite muddy in there. So you did the right thing by pulling the plants out and letting them dry out. Now what you're going to have to do is make sure that you solve the problem. So making sure that you have enough drainage in there and that the soil dries out a little bit before you put the plants in. Or you can take that soil out, put it into a garden, and then replant in some fresh soil. So that's probably what I would suggest. Now with your plants, the reason why they're not looking good is if they have too much water, they actually are, the roots are starting to rot, and also the plant can't take up nutrients because there's no air in that soil either. So those are the two things that are happening in order to cause your plants to look, they're looking weak and kind of limp. That's probably what you noticed first sign of damage to the roots, correct?
Yeah, they were very droopy. Mm-hmm. And that, so I've got two fresh pots. And I'm going to use new soil.
Yeah.
Because that, it was like even that sewer smell.
Okay.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, so use the new soil, and then it's going to take a little bit for your plants to bounce back because they've probably dropped all of their hair roots on them. Those are the fine roots on them. So you're going to plant them back in. Just give it some fertilizer, some 20-20-20, and hold off on the watering a little bit, but at the same time, you don't want to let them dry out completely.
With the new soil, you got to be, because if you have good drainage with the new soil, you want to keep them moist but not wet.
Yeah, and then what I do is I watch my plants. You should be sticking your finger into the soil, and you said like they're getting water every day. Water them when the soil feels dry. Never water your plants on a schedule until you figure out what that schedule is going to be.
And there's something you can use too. It's called Rage Plus. And if you want to, if any plants that are having like issues, like even house plants and outside plants that have issues, put some of the Rage Plus in, and it's like a, I don't know what you call it. It's like a Red Bull for people, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
vitamin C when you're feeling sick.
It's a pick-me-upper for plants, and it really works good. It really picks you up. It's made by a company out of Winnipeg called Dirt and Grow.
So. Wendy, I want to ask you, so that you got different pots now you're putting these plants back into?
Yes.
Okay, so what?
The ones that have drainage.
They already have holes drilled into them or put into them?
Yep, good.
Okay. Yeah.
Perfect. If you ever run into the problem where you have a pot you want to use that doesn't have any drainage, it's pretty simple. Like, just flip it over, especially if it's plastic, get a drill bit and a drill and drill some holes in the bottom. And you can buy those little plastic trays to set your pots into if you don't want your deck, covered in water, that sort of thing, as a bit of a reservoir underneath. So that's always an alternative if you have a pot you like that doesn't have the drainage. Just manually put it in. So there you
go. That sounds great. Can I replant or repot them today, or should I let those roots dry out more?
Well, it depends on how much soil is with them and how wet that soil is. If that soil's like soupy, like you said, I'd probably let the soil dry out a little bit. But it's going to be a hot day, so don't let them dry out in the hot sun. Put them in kind of a shady area in your yard if you are doing that.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Wendy. Have a good day.
You too. Bye bye.
1-877-332-8255. Our next call is from Pat, who's in Regina. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
You got a Mancana ash with some issues. Tell us what's going on.
We do. We planted it middle of June, and we used that Mike fertilizer when we first put it in, and I've also given it some Miracle-Gro.
Yep.
Just once, though. When we bought it, we checked with the nursery, and they had been giving it about 2 gallons of water a day, so I've been trying to do that for sure, plus the rain.
Yep.
The leaves are starting to turn black a little bit, so not all of them, and some of them are shriveling up, and I'm wondering if it's not getting enough water or what could be the problem.
Yeah, most likely there's either two things. Either too much water, but it doesn't sound like, from what if you said it's 2 gallons a day, what size of pot was it in?
It was in a 15-gallon.
Okay, so that's not enough water.
Not enough water. Okay.
So what you need to do is you're going to need to, basically what you need to do is now you'll need to water, I would say 2 gallons of water right at the trunk of the tree.
Right.
Slowly. Go around the yard and pick some weeds and water the other plants and everything else. Do some fertilizing and then come back in about 15 minutes and water it again.
Okay.
And they're going to do that four times.
Okay.
Okay? At least four times. Because I need to get that root ball hydrated right to the bottom.
Right.
And I don't want to give it all at once because it's not the way that soil, once it dehydrates, it'll just go down the side or make a tunnel right down through the bottom. So I have to do it slowly so it soaks up. And then the next time I water, it soaks a little farther. And
Okay.
And then once it's hydrated, then you can go ahead and then water. And like I said, that's a 15-gallon pot, right?
Yeah.
What we call a 15-gallon pot. So and you're putting on, you said, 4 gallons of water, right?
Two
gallons of water?
Yeah.
So 2 gallons of water, if you're just dumping it all at once, like with a pail or something like that, then it's just going to spread out over top of the soil and not penetrate into the root ball.
Okay.
So you got to always put that 2 gallons of water every day, if you're going to do that, slowly so that it soaks into the ball and just doesn't disperse over, 3 feet around the tree.
But of course, we always talk about this, about, knowing whether it's too dry or too wet.
Yep.
And the way to figure that out, Rick.
Yeah, a piece of rebar is really simple.
So this is the solution we're giving you right now if we know that it's too dry.
Yep.
But we also advise, probably a good idea, even first before you do that,
probe the soil.
Is stick that in there, right?
Probe the soil right to the bottom of the planting hole. And then you'll find out, and rebar works good because it has ribs on it, so it brings a sample up, right?
Right.
And then that way there you'll see what it's like at the bottom of the hole. And if it's just wet at the bottom, then you poke some more holes and aerate. But I have a feeling if what you just said is going to be dry, the way you're seeing the leaves are and everything else is going to be dry.
Okay.
Yeah, and sometimes you get that pocket around the outer edge and the water's just going around the outer edge if it's a newly planted tree,
too. Especially Mancana. There's such big leaves on it, and with the heat, they're sucking the moisture right out of that root ball.
Okay.
The soil around it could be wet, but the root ball will be bone dry.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pat. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. Okay. So this is the next call we're going to get to here is Brian, who's in Saskatoon. We just got a couple minutes. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good, guys. Morning.
Morning.
Problem with cucumbers is a couple of years in a row now of the yield. You've got just disproportionate amount of blossoms. Now, the ones that have the little cucumber behind the blossom, what are those, your males?
Those are your females. Your males would be the first flowers that come out in the season, and then your females come a little bit later, and they've got the cucumber behind them.
Okay, disproportionate number. The ones with the little cucumbers behind them, the females, I've got one of those for about every 6 males. Now, I heard if you pinch off half of your males, we get more females coming out. Is that right?
Yeah, you don't need as many males, but you want to make sure that you have a chance for them to pollinate first before you do that. So they usually have a thin stem, and they appear in like clusters. Usually you can see those ones. So you can definitely thin out those flowers when you see them.
Yeah, because I'm not getting that many females, so I'm not getting that many cucumbers, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's not a problem. Just thin some of them out, and then if you find that you're still not getting pollinization after you thin them out and you start getting more females, then you can always do the Q-tip thing and be the bee.
That's what I've been doing for the ones that are there.
Yep, perfect.
Another quick question, too. I heard for to boost your tomato yield, you take baking soda, brown sugar, and water, and spray your tomatoes. Now, some people say that's not good because the baking soda is fairly high in salt. It's not good for your plants. What have you heard about that?
I haven't heard about that one, but with anything that's a natural one, I wouldn't test on your whole crop. Test it on one plant first, and then if it works, great.
And little amounts won't hurt it. It's big amounts that hurt it.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Gotta run, Brian. Yep. Thanks a lot. All right. 1-877-332-8255. When we get back from the break, a news update for everybody. Dave's call talking about lilac bushes when we get back. So that's on the way. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. You're listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, thanks for spending Sunday here with us. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick, and we got lots to talk about today. And text messages are coming up next, but our next call right here, thanks for hanging through the break, is Dave in Saskatoon. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's going on with the lilac bush? Tell us the story.
I trimmed them down for the most part in the spring, but I left a few stalks up just so I'd have flowers and the the smell in the yard for the at that time.
Yep.
That worked out okay, but these things are sticking up. I'd like to even off the bushes, and I'd like to know when the best time would be to cut those down.
Do them right now.
Right now,
yeah, do them right now, and then give them a shot of fertilizer. Then it'll push on some growth again, and you'll even have more blooms next spring. And and then you won't have to prune next spring. You'd be pruning right now, right?
Yeah, okay. I prefer that, to be honest.
So if you want, you could do it actually even a little bit earlier, around the third week of June. That'd be the even better time to do it. Okay,
but still a good time right now.
Not a problem. You could prune them right now. All that growth that you got, the extra little spikes, round it out a little bit. Even take some of the other branches and also round them as well, so that you'll get some new growth by hitting with fertilizer. And right now, and then you'll have just way more blooms if you don't prune in the spring.
And what fertilizer would I use? Would be best.
I would use a 30-10-10. I want some good growth right now.
Okay.
So get and it sounds like a bigger plant. How tall is the plant?
They're about 4.5 feet,
yes.
5 feet maybe.
And they're older, so I would pour about 5 gallons of water mixed with the fertilizer all the way around the plant.
Oh, okay.
Okay, give it a good shot of fertilizer. Get some growth happening.
Okay, sounds good. Okay. There's lots of new growth on it right now.
Yeah.
So.
But if you trim it now, then you'll get that growth up and they'll look better, and then next spring you'll have a bazillion flowers.
Okay.
Okay?
That's what I was hoping for.
There you go.
Sounds good, Dave. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, text line time right now. I got to scroll back kind of to where it sort of starts because it's all piled up. This is Gary, I think he's in Silver Spring. The text is, what causes cucumbers to curve? It's not lack of nitrogen in his case, he says. Like, there's lots of nitrogen.
Yeah.
So he sent me a picture of some straight cucumbers and some horseshoe-shaped cucumbers.
Now, the fact that he has some straight cucumbers and some curled cucumbers tells me that it's not a watering deficiency or a fertilizing or a nutrient deficiency, that it's most likely a pollination issue. So when some of the cucumbers are partially pollinated or the bee pollinates the sort of oddly, you'll get some cucumbers showing up. But if you're noticing all of your cucumbers are, it's actually too much nitrogen, or it could be inconsistent watering. Going too hot, too dry can cause that too, when the fruit is starting to form. So those are usually the issues. If you see like just maybe one or two cucumbers out of the batch, it's usually a pollination issue. And if that's the case, you're noticing consistently year after year, get some more pollinator plants in there so there's more bees around, or you can be the bee and take the male flowers and pollinate the female ones yourself.
Okay, there you go. It's sometimes tough to battle that inconsistent watering, just if you've got a busy mm-hmm. life,
yeah.
you're working, what do you do? You know, for somebody who, their gardening, say you're retired and gardening is your full-time hobby and you're out in the garden every day, all day, that's just your thing. That's, something you can achieve. For people who are working, all you got is before you're done work and after you're done work. And
honestly, for me, the game changer has been putting a timer and putting a drip system even on my garden, and that's really, really helped. And then it also has controls, so it can read the weather too. So
and
if we're getting rain, it shuts the
water's on the ground, not over top the leaves.
Correct.
Either.
Now, the nice thing is that you talked about. There are inexpensive systems too mm-hmm. that can do this, that you can put on a tap
yep.
that run on batteries that have timers that you can connect a hose to and then put a dripper system on the
Absolutely.
End of that. So,
if you want to even go more, even cheaper than that, you do is you just take a hose, right?
Yeah.
You pop a little hole in it, you take a ribbon and you tie the ribbon around the pipe so that it doesn't shoot a spray way up in the air.
Okay.
And then you can, now you don't have to buy an emitter.
Okay.
Right? So, that's, you can do that too, especially if you got dirty water.
Mm.
Like if you got water that you're using that's not clean out of a well or, the city, some people have water like we do that come out of the lake. So if I put an emitter system in, I got to put a filter system in.
Right.
Or I can drill a hole and put a ribbon around it and it'll just, the pressure will keep the pretty much clear, and then just drip down right where I drilled the hole with the ribbon holding around the bottom.
Yeah. Okay. And in my garden, I just have on the tap that goes to my garden, I have a soaker hose. So I just sort of zigzag the soaker hose through my garden,
okay.
And then there it soaks through.
So because when you think of an automated watering system, you think cha-ching, cha-ching, you think big dollars, right?
No,
but there are some really inexpensive ways to do it now. Yeah.
Yeah, so, for sure. I think it's becoming a more commonplace practice, so you're able to find it everywhere.
Yeah, rewind 30 years ago, and it was only the most expensive homes that had automated,
Works better than this, even those soaker hoses, because soaker hoses had little streams of water that shot up in the air. It's called a weeper hose.
Yeah, that's what I have.
And it's a black hose, and it just weeps
out.
It weeps.
Leaks out of itself.
It leaks out of itself.
More or less. Yep. Okay, there you go. This is Lana at Eagle Lake on the text line. It says, good morning. In my garden, many years of all mature fruit bushes are starting to encroach on one another. She's got red currants, black, gooseberries, hascaps, saskatoons. When's the best time to prune these, and how much can I prune them?
Okay, so I like pruning mine first thing in the spring.
Okay.
Because I liked leaving the branches all up to catch snow in the wintertime.
Right.
Okay, so every spring of all those ones, I'll give them a good pruning. And then you can shape them and keep them apart, especially that black currant will probably grow the quickest of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can just, and even if, cause if you start trimming them in the summertime, you can thin them a bit right now if you want to let light in so that they ripen better. Okay.
Yep.
You can do that a little, you can do just some light pruning right now. Not a problem. But my major pruning for fruit trees, I do basically the end of March or as soon as the snow melts away that I can get at the plant and do some pruning in April.
Okay. Okay. There you go. All right. Next text. Let's go here. 1-877-332-8255. Eleanor is in Saskatoon. Is mulching the lawn with every cutting good, or is it too often?
Mulching the lawn, like just leaving the mulch on the, leaving the grass clippings on the lawn. Is that what she's saying?
I kind of assume that's what she's asking. Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the lawn. I mean, if you have a really heavy lawn, like a thick lawn, like what you have, Jay.
Yeah.
Then you want to pick it up because it's just too thick to be able to be.
It'd be
a mess, right? If you're just I cut some of my grass that's out in the fringes that doesn't have very much irrigation.
Yes.
I did that the other day and I just let the mulch go on every single time because I want that there's nutrients and ground cover, right? So
right.
For the plants. So
also, if you have a yard that's going to get lots of snow on it, like you have snow mold issues, probably get that thatch off is a good idea as well.
Yeah. So I wouldn't do it every time for sure. And it depends how good of your mower is. You're keeping your blade sharp so it cuts it properly, and then, so that you mulch it really good. If you let your lawn grow longer and you're leaving a whole bunch of grass on the lawn, then you're better off just to go back and either rake it up or go back and put the bag on and pick some of that up.
And remember, if you're planning on overseeding, you need to get that thatch out so that the seed hits the soil too. So that's also becomes an issue if you're doing some.
Yeah, seeding. You end up with just a bunch of dead grass, in the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of then begins to choke out the lawn a little bit,
exactly.
Right? So some is good, too much is not good, right?
Exactly.
And then if you've got a really thick lawn, you might as well just pick it all
up. Everything in moderation.
That's right. Wayne is in Regina. One more text this morning. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Wayne. Ants, speaking about ants, will they kill the lawn if there are a lot of ant hills? That is the question.
They dry it out. Mm-hmm. They got so many holes and the holes go down about 12 inches into the ground and they just dry it out, right? It's like aerating your lawn constantly, right? And so that's the biggest thing. Ants like dry lawns, anyways, dry soil to begin with. And so if you're going to get rid of your ants, just thicken up your grass, just like we talked before, and keep it well moist. Otherwise, you can wet your grass down or do it right after rain if it's going to rain, tomorrow. And then get some of the ant out, the nematodes.
Right.
The nematodes work really good on controlling the ants, but your lawn has to be wet down 12 inches first. Because if the nematodes have to go through moist soil, if it's bone dry soil, which ants dry out the soil, it won't work right. So you got to soak it before. Put the nematodes on and then soak it again, and then you'll get rid of all your ants.
How do you get the uncles out?
Ha, 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 ha. Same way.
I was just waiting for that.
You thought you caught me on that one, right?
Yeah. Beer, but they end up in your garage. So.
It was funny watching Rick's face when you said that because he was actually thinking about a legitimate response.
Okay, let's take a quick break. We've got calls from Larry and Murray coming up, and then we'll be back to the text line, too. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We've got a call from Larry in New and Lodge. We'll talk to that about that. Some strawberry questions. Ooh, strawberries. Apparently, the strawberries are doing really good this year.
Yeah, ours are growing like crazy.
Had lots of success. We'll talk with Larry about that
in a second.
Keep
the birds out of them.
Yeah, no kidding. But right now to Strasbourg, let's talk to Murray, who's on the line. Good morning, Murray. How are you?
Very good.
Excellent.
I have three spruce trees that are doing really well, and one browned off last fall, but it seems to have come back with some greenery on it. Is it a deficiency in nutrients, or what is the best way to fertilize these spruce trees?
Well, you're getting near the end, very end of fertilizing spruce trees. You can do it one more time yet, but by August the 1st, like even some of mine have started setting their terminal buds already for next year, okay? So their growth happens, you need to start fertilizing in the beginning of May, about May the 10th, and because they put most of the growth on in June. Okay, so you want to get the banquet table set in May and then let them grow like crazy during June. And then by the middle of July, you're basically shutting down your fertilizing. So if you want to give it one shot of fertilizer right now, give it a 30-10-10. How big is the spruce?
They're about 15 feet tall.
Yeah, so about 10 gallons of water mixed with 30-10-10.
Okay. How much fertilizer do you put in?
It'll tell you on the container how much to put per liter of water.
Okay.
It has a little spoon in it and tells you, measuring spoon in it and everything. So put 10 gallons of water evenly around the plant, okay, and do that as soon as you can. And then you can start again, do the same thing every 3 weeks from Mother's Day until now, until this time of the year, middle of July, okay, if you want lots of growth. Once you get a watch, I was just checking one of the neighbor's trees, is that they had some 4-foot spruce trees around their yard. And they were full of spider mite.
Oh.
And they had brown patches, which when I looked at them, I said, what are those brown patches? And sure enough, I had my magnifying glass with me, and I checked them out, and they were just full of spider mite. And it's not a regular spider web, you can see. The spider webs are in between the needles, okay, and along the little stems where the needles come out of. So they're very small. You need magnifying glass to see them. Or you take a white piece of paper and a clipboard, and you tap the branch on a clipboard, and all of a sudden you see these little specks moving around.
On the paper.
But then it's a tough one to do, and then you need to wash them down with cold water quite often. And you'll see the browning coming from the bottom, inside, up, and out. So the bottom half of the tree is where the worst will be with spider mite.
Yeah, that's what's happening to this one, I think.
Yep, and they turn kind of a dusty gray first, and then they'll turn basically kind of a browny color, and then yellowy brown color, and then the needles will just fall off.
So just cold water on that.
Cold water, and if you can find some malathion, that works really good.
Okay.
Bug-X out kind of works a little bit, but not as great on spider mite. I am trying to find a predator in a spider mite that I think we might be able to get some for next year that actually you can release into the tree, and it actually seeks and destroy the other spider mites. It doesn't hurt the tree.
So it might, you know, like fertilizing is always a good idea.
Yeah. Well, and watering, because the spiders are sucking on the needles. So if you can replace the moisture that they're sucking out, then you can help the tree out, right? But if you don't water them, then the tree can't keep up.
Okay. So this, like fertilizing any tree, like 10 gallons of water, 30, 10, 10?
Depending on the size, right? For the amount of water. 30, 10, 10 work on all the trees, but depending on the size of the tree. Like if it's a tiny little tree, I'm only going to use 4 to 5 gallons, right?
Okay.
But if it's a big tree like that, I'm going to use, if it's even a bigger tree, like 30 feet, I'm probably going to use 15 gallons of water.
Wow. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Alrighty.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Murray. Take care.
Yep. Bye
now.
1-877-332-8255. We've got time for another call here, and we got Larry on the line. Hi, Larry. How are you?
Good morning. Regarding runners for strawberries, I'm rooting them now. Should I leave them there till spring or transplant them later this summer?
I'd probably root them and transplant them this summer. It would probably be a good idea. I find I have a little bit better success. The other thing, by cutting your runners once they've kind of got a little bit of roots on them, it will help your mother plant produce more fruit as well, too.
And then also just make sure those new runners this fall, just mulch them a bit so they'll get through the winter, right?
Okay. What, any fertilizer for the little ones?
Just a well-balanced fertilizer is good, like a 20-20-20 is perfect for them. You want to avoid a high nitrogen fertilizer with your strawberries.
Yeah, if you do 20-20-20 on the new plants, go half strength, okay, rather than full strength.
Okay, and I've got seascape strawberries that don't grow very tall.
Yeah, those are a perfect ever-bearing strawberry. They grow great in pots and also in the ground, so it's a good variety and nice and hardy too.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Take care, Larry. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, we can squeeze in one more call, I think, here before we got to get to the end of the hour. We got Jody in Balgoni. Hi, Jody. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. What's going on with the garden?
Wondering about radishes. I'm getting an argument with my uncle here. He's saying it's because I start them in the spring and then transplant them into my garden. And they're, probably 2 to 3 feet tall, big bushy leaves, but you pull them out and it's just like a wooden stick. There's no radishes. I'm wondering why that is.
Yeah, they don't actually, radishes don't transplant well. They don't like to be disturbed at all. They're one of those ones that it would be better just to plant them right into the soil. They're also a cool weather crop too. So if you have a really big heat wave, sometimes you'll get woodier ones. But the fact that you've got lots of leaves shows me that you might be fertilizing them too much. It's probably from transplanting them.
And also, the best thing to do with your radishes, honestly, is what you do is you decide how much space you're going to leave for the garden, right? And then you take your pack of seeds, and then right away in this, even early, one of the first ones you're going to plant out in the garden might be radishes or peas, right? Plant about 25% of the radishes. Wait a week.
Okay.
Wait a week, plant another 25%. Wait a week, plant another 25%. Right, and then you're going to have you'll have these nice fresh radishes all through the season, rather than all ready at once and getting woody.
So the reason why they're getting woody is because I'm transplanting them. Is basically what you're saying.
Well, you're getting a lot of new growth and not necessarily a ball on the bottom because of that. They'll get woody because usually they get old is one of the biggest reasons.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Jody. Take care.
Thank you.
1-877-332-8255. Hour number two is coming up. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome to hour number two of Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We got a couple calls, and then we'll get back to the text line. Lots of texts have rolled in, but we've always get the calls to go first, and they've been taking up our time, which is a good thing. So stick around. Darla will be next, but up first in Buena Vista is Kathy. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hi. Yes, I have a flower bed that was constructed and put against the house, so it's about 2 feet deep. Will small shrubs winter in something like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, okay. Which way is it facing again, you said?
Well, it's got an east and north exposure.
Oh, yeah. So how much sun do you get during the day, approximately? How many hours?
Well, that's, I'm not really sure, actually. It's from the east in the morning, so it'd be the morning sun.
Yep, so morning sun, so it gets morning till about 11 o'clock?
Yeah, but I'm thinking about wintering, though. Is there enough?
Not a problem. So, I mean, you can go hydrangeas, you can go spirea, you can do a lot of different things in there, not a problem.
Now, you said it's 2 feet deep. How high off the ground is it, or is it ground level?
It's ground level, and it's up about 2 feet.
Well, you raised it up around 2 feet, right?
Yeah.
This is like a raised bed.
So you have a side wall, basically, that's 2 feet high?
Yeah, okay. It's a raised bed, I guess.
Yeah. The only thing you may want to do before you plant it up, if you haven't planted up already, is dig out the sides of that bed and put some styrofoam on the vertical side on the outside edge.
And you can get insulation styrofoam.
Insulation styrofoam, right? Like a...
Oh.
Right? And then put it in insulation, get about an R10. And put an R10 insulation on the inside of your bed up against the wall. That'll keep the frost from coming through and hitting the roots.
Oh, okay. Great.
If you do that, you won't have any problem at all.
And you just get that, and you get that stuff at a hardware store. You cut it with an X-Acto knife. It gets really simple and easy to use.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not hard at all.
Yep.
It's not expensive either.
Yep.
You know.
And one thing with it being on the east side of the house is usually the problems is when you get the freeze and thaw, and usually you see that more on the south side of the house, whereas on the east side of the house, usually your snow is not melting as quickly. So
well, it's good. East and north.
Yeah.
Got the two exposures, so yeah.
Not a problem. You can
okay, does it matter what shrubs? Just small shrubs?
Just on the north side, you want to go with more shadier type of shrubs, okay?
Okay.
On the east side, you're fine to do whatever.
I would love some hydrangeas in there.
Hydrangeas would be perfect on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Thank you.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks, Kathy. Take care. 1-877-332-8255. Darla is in Saskatoon. Hi, Darla. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. What's the question for us today?
Okay. So last September, I planted two Saskatoon shrubs or bushes. They were doing great. This spring they came up, they're beautiful. I was fertilizing with a fruit fertilizer. They're looking great. And then just a few weeks ago, I noticed the one tree, like I have two, and the one is very healthy. And the one tree, the other tree, has about two branches that the leaves have curled and kind of turned brown. And the other branch is doing well. I sent you some pictures. I don't know if you got them yet. I texted them in.
Let me look for that.
Yeah, and I just said I'm waiting on the phone about my Saskatoon bushes, if that helps.
I don't know if I can find that one quick enough.
Okay.
There's a whole lineup of Texas.
That's okay. I understand.
But anyways, if the only reason it would turn brown like that is two things, okay? One is overwatering, one is underwatering. Those are two things. The other one is if the branch got damaged or something like that, okay?
Okay.
Like the ball fell into it or the dog got into it or you whippersnipped it or anything like that, okay?
So none of those things happen. Like the dogs aren't near it.
Yep.
The whippersnipper isn't near it.
Okay.
The only thing is a few weeks ago, our neighbor was spraying and it was like 40-kilometer winds that day. Is there a possibility that it could be a chemical burn?
So there's basically no leaves in this anywhere.
That looks like an apple tree or something like that, not a Saskatoon, is it? Is this a tall Saskatoon?
Because nope, I've got the Darla from Saskatoon area. Oh,
yeah,
that's
that was early.
Oh, sorry,
no,
that's a different one. Sorry, I got. Okay, I found it now. Here we go.
Did you find it?
Okay, yeah, found it. Looking at the pictures here.
I would probe the soil and see whether that root ball is actually getting enough moisture to the bottom of the root ball.
Okay.
From what I see from this picture, I would suggest probing the soil down because that root ball is going to be about, 12 inches deep, okay?
Okay.
And I'd probe to the bottom of that root ball with a piece of rebar or something,
okay.
You know?
Okay. I have rebar, yeah.
And just check because if you're only putting like 2 liters of water on there with the heat we'd now be getting, that wouldn't be enough.
You think it's that? Okay.
And that's right. From the pictures you just showed me, I think that is going to be too dry.
And just so the other listeners know, the picture that we saw, it had a few green leaves on the bottom, but most of the leaves were desiccated and turning brown and crispy is what we were seeing. It looked like it's a nice, big, fresh piece of soil. Your soil looks nice and healthy. You got a nice mound around it, too. So, yeah. So
we're hopefully we'll get a secondary leaf come out if you can get it rehydrated.
Okay.
And you got to water slowly to get that whole ball hydrated to the bottom, okay?
Okay. So how often would you suggest watering? Like every day?
You may have to water just enough on the... I'm not trying to get the root ball. It looks like it's a pretty big area you got there.
We do, yeah.
And so I want the... You might want to build a little berm around it to hold the water so the water doesn't spread out, okay?
Okay.
And then you're going to water... You may want to... I would just use your rebar. I mean, if it's really hot, you may have to water it every day, okay? Until it gets rooted because you just planted it this year.
Well, last September.
Last September, yeah. Basically, because it wouldn't have rooted much last fall, okay?
Yeah.
So you've got a new plant, basically. So it's not rooted out yet. And so you may be able to do it every day, but then every once in a while, probe the soil and then just check the moisture. And the moisture is going to be different in the root ball than it will be in the soil around the plant, okay? So I probe both places.
Okay.
And then that way you'll check. But right now, I think that root ball is bone dry.
Okay. So basically, when I probe it, I'm not going to damage the root
at
all.
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
All right.
Okay.
Perfect. Good.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Darla. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. Let's see if we can squeeze on one more call before we go to our break. Perry is in Weyburn. Good morning, Perry.
Good morning.
What's the question for us today?
I bought some potted hydrangeas earlier in the spring here, and one was a nice bright blue, and the other one was pink, and now they've lost all their color. They look terrible. Like I don't know what to do with them.
Yeah, basically, what they're a houseplant fertilizer. They're not a hardy fertilizer. Hydrangea. Did I say fertilizer?
It's okay.
They're a houseplant hydrangea, not a hardy hydrangea. They won't survive the winter here, okay?
Right.
And you need to fertilize them, and you need to add some aluminum sulfate to keep up with their color.
And the other thing, too, is the blooms will, just like anything, a lot of times we expect those blooms to last forever. You have to deadhead them, and then you'll get some new blooms coming.
But
so
fertilizer to create the new growth to get the new blooms.
Okay.
Oh, and that aluminum sulfate is what controls the color, really.
It keeps them brighter pink and bright. I mean, otherwise they'll fade to a light pink, you know, or almost a light blue.
And then almost a white.
Even the blue will turn to a pink almost if you don't use the acidic type of fertilizer.
Okay, and this is a granular aluminum sulfate?
Yep, it's a powder. You mix it, you can just pour it on the top or mix in water for your type of situation is probably the best way to do it.
You just don't want to get the powder straight on the leaves, mix it with water.
But use a fertilizer that's meant for evergreens.
Oh, okay.
Because it's an acid base. Okay?
Right. Okay, very good.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thanks, Perry. Take care.
Thanks.
1-877-332-8255. Back to the text line when we get back from the break. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. You're listening to Garden Talk, and we've got a busy text line to get to. We'll be at there in just a moment. Right now in Saskatoon, Dolores is going to join us. Hi, Dolores. How are you?
Fine.
Great. What's going on with your yard?
Well, one day I went out, and yesterday I went out, and the whole circle of mushrooms in my grass.
Yep.
And there were near a large root from a tree that was cut off many years ago, and it was cut off flat to the ground.
Yep.
But I went out yesterday and put boiling water on it, vinegar water on them. What can I do?
Okay, there's two things you can do. One, you can just leave them because they're actually feeding on that root right now and making the root rot quicker. Okay. Oh. But if you don't like them, then what you can do is just, you know, pick them all up because they'll spread spores, you know, around the area. Pick them out before you mow. But also what you want to do is aerate your area with a garden fork or something like that.
Yeah.
And then put some compost accelerator in that area.
What is it?
Compost accelerator. It's something you put in your compost pile. It's basically a bunch of bacteria, which makes the root rot quicker.
Because there's nothing we can really spray on to kill the mushrooms.
There's no chemical to kill the rot mushrooms, okay?
Yeah. We've got to kind of finish rotting and get it over and done with.
Trying to get rid of. So aerating, water, and compost accelerator will help break it down quicker so you don't have the mushrooms and won't have any food to feed on.
Okay. So right now I just pick them before I mow my lawn.
If you don't want them to spread, but they'll only spread where you have basically organic material underneath, like a piece of wood or a root or something, right?
Yeah.
That's where they're going to go, or tons of thatch, right?
Yeah.
So otherwise, don't worry about it. Do the aerating and watering and compost accelerator to quicken the time that you get rid of that root.
Work for you, Dolores?
Thank you very much.
You're excellent. Thanks. Have a great day. All right. Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, text line right time right now. This is from, I think, Tim. Tim says, I was looking online, but it's hard to tell the info, you know, what's true and what's not. Which of the old insecticides do I use for my plums to set fruit in the spring? Tim says he's got most of them. Bought the Evolve from Dutch Growers, but that sounds like a small plant solution more or less, right? So what did you use to set plums in the spring?
To set the plums is best ways to put other early flowering plants around to attract the bees.
Did there used to be
that's the best thing.
Did there used to be a product?
There used to be a product for tomatoes, but not for fruit trees.
Okay, so there never was a setting.
There wasn't really a set for things for fruit trees, but there was for tomatoes, but that's gone too.
Yes,
though, okay?
Yes, that's gone, yeah.
And so but spraying your flowers like any kind of insecticide is actually going to damage the blooms. So I don't want to use any kind of insecticide or anything like that on my plant, or even a fungicide when it's in flower.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to do it before and afterwards, but not during.
Okay. And the Evolve that he's talking about is a fertilizer that will help promote more blooms and keep your tree healthy so you get lots of fruit.
That's what the Evolve is. It's more of a fertilizer.
Okay, text line time with Fern, who's in Saskatoon. Love your show. Good morning. My American Mountain Ash has not flowered this year. It always has lots of white flowers, but not this year. Is that unusual?
Yeah, it might have just taken a year off. It had a huge crop the year before. But otherwise, just give it last time you can give it a shot of fertilizer this week for that mountain ash. Mm-hmm. And then next year, give it a pruning in the spring or late fall, like after the leaves have fallen off.
Okay.
And, make sure that one thing you want to do with your mountain ash is you want to slow it down in the watering after September 1st. I want the mountain ash to turn red in the fall. I don't want the leaves to stay green.
Okay.
Okay.
So similar to your maples.
Similar to your maples in that I want them to turn red in the fall. Beautiful color, orange, red leaves, right? Beautiful color. And then it's getting the tree to shut down and then you'll do way better for the next spring.
All right. Owens and Priestville on the text line. We're picking up, sod to lay down today. Just wondering if we need to fertilize it and any other steps for good care.
Yeah, sod has been growing for quite a while, so fertilizing is not it won't hurt it. Like, I like using the Groundskeeper that's made here in Saskatchewan. It's a 16, and I like using the one, the green bag, 1610, that has phosphorus in it.
Yep.
3, and then 17-3. And then you put that on. I put that on either before or afterwards, doesn't matter. And then water your grass it after you put it down, and then way it'll go.
So a couple of good tips with sod is when you lay that sod down on your soil, you do want to use oftentimes like a roller to
get it in contact with it.
Get it in good contact with the soil, and then not letting your sod dry out is key.
That's the big one.
Water.
Not too many people use a roller. A lot of times I'll just toss it down, make sure I get it, you know, in my hand, just pat it down so it's not little rolls in it.
Okay.
Get it flat and pull it tight in so that all the joints are nice and tight. And like the key is, like you said, is keeping it moist.
Because
and I remember when we were laying sod too, not having the joints so that they kind of Tetris, so they overlap the
stagger the joints.
Stagger the joints. That's going to help it look better, right?
Yep.
But then, you know, with an established lawn, you can go 3 or 4 or 5 days without watering your lawn, and it'll still survive if it's a healthy lawn.
Yep.
With that sod, you pretty much are like you're on for every day.
Yep.
Probably now for a couple of weeks.
Two and a half weeks.
If you want that to survive, because when the sun comes out, it's going to dry that sod out. Yeah. It's not drawing moisture from the soil yet.
But as long as you keep it moist, because there's lots of roots there, it'll root quickly.
So put your irrigation in first.
If you're laying sod and you're going on a holiday next week, don't do it.
But the fertilizer, like use the Groundskeeper with the phosphorus in it, 10 phosphorus, that'll help it get it established really good.
There you go. Okay. Jason is in Merrifield. Good morning. We've got some sort of lilac in our yard. Doesn't look very healthy. There's only 2 blossoms at the very top. Our other lilacs look great. Should we be cutting this down to let it rejuvenate? And when would we do that?
Just do a light trimming on it right now.
Okay. And there's some kind of brown in there kind of going on. We've got one picture there.
Give them some water, give them some fertilizer right now, trim them right now. And then get it growing again, right? And then next year you'll have way more blooms.
Okay.
And looking at that tree too, it looks like it's a little bit wispy. So if you're wanting to do a hard trim on it, just do a hard trim, but in the early spring, and then you're not going to get blooms for that year.
Exactly.
You'll get blooms the following year.
Yes.
His other question is, we've got a couple of tomatoes on our back step. One is about 3 feet tall. The other one is getting close to 5 feet. Both have fruit on them. How do I make it go about pruning it so it gets down to make them bush out?
Well, if it's a determinant variety, which means that the size has already been determined, it's just the variety that you have. So that
I think that tall is probably indeterminate.
It's probably an indeterminate variety. But what you want to do is you want to look for the runners. So where the blossoms are and then where the leaves are, you'll see sort of a runner coming out the middle of those branches. You can pinch those off. You can also cut those large leaves in half, and then that will help get more light to the plant as well too. And you can also pinch off some of the blossoms if you have a ton of blossoms as well. But stringing those plants up, putting some stakes in the ground and tying some strings so that they're tied up. If you actually look online to see what a production greenhouse looks like of greenhouses, they actually go up 10, 15 feet tall. And there's not a whole lot of leaves on the plant at that time. They just keep pruning and just allow for the fruit to grow.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines right now. We're going to take a call from Mike in Watson. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Well, good morning. Okay, a couple of things. I think it's chickweed. It's something I kind of let it get away on me. Now my lawn has got kind of a white bloom on top, and then I pulled up on one, and it has a whole network of roots going every direction. Is that chickweed?
It could be chickweed or it could be clover.
Sorry?
It could be chickweed or it could be clover.
Yeah.
Clover. So it could be either one of them, okay?
Okay, so what do I do? Can I spray it?
Yeah, you can spray it with just I think the clover won't work with that, but I mean the chickweed. If it's chickweed, you can use Par 3 or Kilex or Weed Be Gone. There's a whole bunch of them you can use. But the biggest thing is getting before they go into getting.
Sorry, I'm interrupting you. The other question is, I'm not much of a gardener, but I'm trying to grow some tomatoes, and I soak the. I only planted 3 plants, and I soak them every night. There doesn't seem to be very many blooms on them. Am I overwatering, do you think?
Yeah, you're most likely overwatering. Also, watering your tomato plants in the morning rather than at night. Switch your watering habits a little bit and water near the base of the plant. And with your tomatoes, feel the soil. You should, if it's wet in the soil at all, if you never water a wet plant, okay?
Okay. Good. Okay, perfect. I guess I got lots to learn yet.
That's very much.
Have a great day.
Take care, Mike.
You as well. Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. Okay, speaking of lawn, we'll get to a text here from Laverne and Regina about what kind of grass they've got. I've actually had some interesting people talk to me about noticing different types of grass in their lawn showing up. So we'll talk about that when we get back. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We thank everybody for the phone calls today. We're actually going to close down the phone lines for a little bit because we got a double lightning round coming up for you because we have so many texts and we want to answer those as well. So here we go with our double lightning round, the first edition right now. Laverne in Regina, what kind of grass is this? Laverne sent us a picture.
Yep.
And what kind of is interesting because I want to talk about that is I'm getting some friends asking me, hey, I got different kinds of blades of grass showing up in my lawn.
Yep.
And there's all kinds of mixes, right? Yep. That's the thing, is it's not just one type of grass. In this case, Laverne, we had a look, Rick looked, and it looks like what? It looks like fescue.
Fescue is maybe a perennial ryegrass.
Right.
So it grows a little bit taller, a little thicker blades on them,
yep.
And will seed into head quicker.
Laverne said they used Western Parks mix.
Yep. Which is more of a dryland mix, you know, so for areas that, you know, you don't have as much water. And so it has those different mixes in it to be able to survive the drought time, and then as soon as it rains, it all greens back up again.
Right, exactly. Okay.
And so that's an important thing, is that when you're buying a grass, you don't just buy one type. A mix is actually better because then you can sort of handle all the different types of climates, and
That's why even if you have irrigation, that's why the Canada number one mix works good, because it has different types of blades of even 3 different types of Kentucky blues in it, because different Kentucky blues stay greener or bluer in the spring, summer, and fall. And so this will make your lawn look nicer all year long.
Who knew this was so complicated? Grass is grass. No, it's not. Nope. You know, that's the thing. Yeah. Sue is in Kipling. I have a 6-year-old male kiwi and a 5-year-old female kiwi plant. I think this is Gardener's Challenge right here with Sue. They're growing well, but have not come into flower yet. They are 2 feet apart. Are they too close? Could that be the problem?
No, definitely not the problem being too close. I'd probably hit them with a 20-20-20 fertilizer, or even a 15-30-15 fertilizer with those, just to get them to flower a little bit if it's a flowering that you have. But sometimes if they're not flowering, it's because of a lack of light as well.
Yeah.
So make sure they're in a nice south exposure is what they'll like. And kiwis are actually really pretty. And the leaves in the fall, they turn kind of this pinkish color. So people who don't know about kiwi plants, they're a great vine that you can put up as a perennial.
But you also have to mulch them for the fall so that they're more protected, so they get started quicker in the spring as well.
Absolutely. But you, in order for them to fruit, you need a male and a female, and the males are really hard to find. So I'm glad that she's found both of those. Getting them to bloom, you want to maybe more sunlight and also...
Well, and it might be grow lights required for that. Could you even go that far?
Well, it's outdoors in her yard. Oh, okay. So probably
a
grow.
Kiwi.
Yeah, kiwis are hardy here in Saskatchewan.
What is a hardy kiwi? Mm,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking about like they don't make fruit, do they?
Yeah, they do. That's why you need a male and a female.
They're smaller fruit than you would see, you know, otherwise.
In the grocery store. Yeah. I had no idea. Okay, I'm learning something today. Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that we had kiwi. What?
Yes,
really?
A hardy kiwi in Saskatchewan. You need a male and a female, and you can plant them out. They have a beautiful foliage on them, and you'd find them kind of next to your clematis or hops in your garden center.
With fruit you can eat.
Yes.
The Lounge Down Under comes to Canada. All right. This is from Tina in Shelbrook. Rick, did you say Rage Plus for indoor plants?
Indoor plants or outdoor plants. Anything that's a little bit peaked or having trouble, this is a pick-me-upper.
How do you use it? Is it you add it to water?
Add it to water.
So it's not a direct thing. You have to water it down.
Mix it with water and then pour it around your plant.
Okay,
and
perfect.
I have a little tip for our listeners here today. If you go into the garden center and you talk to Kathy or someone in the plant solutions department and mention the Rage Plus, she's got a little sample for you of Rage Plus.
Okay.
But you have to ask for it, and I'll mention it to her, and she'll give you a little sample so you can try it out.
Greg's in Regina. I saw some lawn care guys last week on YouTube putting magnesium sulfate, Epsom salts, onto their lawns to make them greener. Rick, have you ever tried this? Is it a good idea for lawns in Regina?
You can do it, but just not just a little bit. You don't want to use tons and tons and tons.
Honestly, just buy the groundkeeper fertilizer, and it'll be nice and dark green anyways.
I have so many customers that honestly, they say, how come you didn't start selling this way long time ago?
Exactly.
You know, like, it's made in Saskatchewan, so it's made for our soils.
That's right.
That's the reason why it works well for, right? So.
Yep. Exactly. Wondering what could be happening. This is, I'm not sure. Well, Pam is in Regina. Wondering if you know what could be happening to our black hawthorn tree. Last fall, we took the power sprayer with some Dawn, you know, soap and dishwater and soap and water and sprayed all the dead stuff off and removed any of the dead branches. But this year it started looking good. But unfortunately, the end of June, something has happened again. So repeated it the same as last fall.
Yep.
It's not at the point looking as good as you can see in the photos here. Our neighbor has bushes, which he cut down to the ground last fall because there was some type of bug. Could our tree be suffering the same thing? So okay. I'll show you a picture here of what's
It's a hawthorn,
going on.
You said?
Yeah, it's a hawthorn. So there's a picture of the big tree, lots of kind of brown coming in through it. And then there's a close up here of what's happening with those brown leaves.
Brown, interspersed, crispy leaves.
Crispy, interspersed. Interspersed into that.
I think what they have is called rust.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so they get rust, and they also can get like what's called an apple scab on them, but both of them. So what I would suggest you do is use a product called copper sulfate.
So it's not a bug thing.
I think it's a fungal, looks like.
So soapy water isn't going to help this at all.
No.
Right.
So what you want to use is copper sulfate or Bordeaux. I don't think, Bordeaux done anymore. It's just called copper sulfate. Mm-hmm. And it's a powdery mix of water, and you spray on the top of the plants. You're going to do it three times, and the sprays are 14 days apart.
Okay. All right.
So normally I would start around June the 1st and spray it three times and do that next year. But I'd spray it right now, and then again I'd spray it again starting June 1st. After, you know, the blooms are all done and everything else around June 1st, June 15th, start them, spray it three times, and then you'll get past the cycle because it's a preventive copper sulfate, right?
Yep.
So if you can get, and then what you want to do this fall is that you want to, if those leaves come down, you want to clean them up, don't put those leaves in the compost, put those leaves in the garbage so that you don't have any of that fungal sticking around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bob sent us a text in Kipling, a picture of the mushrooms in my lawn. I pick up a small pailful every day. The grass is very thick, growing great. Just purchased a scarifier and a dethatcher. Would that help get rid of the mushrooms?
Yep.
And if so, when should we use the machine?
If you don't have any old roots and all that kind of stuff in the ground, if they're just sparse all over the place, that means you got too much thatch. Okay,
right.
That's what the mushrooms are.
However, look how nice that lawn is. And there's light spots. Yep. That's just sunlight going through
the
trees.
If they're growing around in a circle or something like that, or in a straight line, that means they're growing on a root or a piece of plywood, a 2x4 or from construction, whatever. There's something underneath there that they're growing on.
I would honestly, in this case, though, look at how nice the lawn is. If you dethatch that with a dethatcher, you're going to rip that all up.
Yeah.
Like, just pick the mushrooms and poke some holes.
And next spring, give it a good dethatching.
Yes, that's what I would do then. Because your lawn is so nice right now. You know.
And the mushrooms are just eating. I mean, they look like kind of, well, I don't know what mushrooms for, but they're just feeding on composted material.
That's
right. Organic material.
Yeah, exactly. 1-877-332-8255. This is Alan, who's in Melfort, trying to establish a spruce tree shelter belt for our yard. Small spruce, by like 1 to 3 feet high, from different varieties, from wild transplants. Is there anything that I can spray on them or suggest to keep deer from chewing off the new growth and the leaders, the tops of the trees? They like the finer needles. The trees with the coarser needles seem to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the fir and that kind of stuff, the like of the fine needles. You can spray on there. It's called a product called Critter Ritter or Skilled, S-K-Y-L-D, I think it's spelled. There's a few of them, Critter Ritter or Skilled, either one of them. Basically, it's a mixture of cayenne peppers and cinnamon and garlic and all that kind of stuff that's all put together, and the animals won't like it.
Okay.
And if you have an area where they're coming into where it's more of a nursery, then you could put up what's called a scarecrow sprinkler. Mm-hmm. And then every time it's motion detector, and every time the deer come close, it goes and they don't like that. They use it up at Emma Lake a lot, where everybody has a lot of deer coming into the yard and the gardens, and everybody has those things. It works good.
And in the winter, you might have to snow fence them to keep them away, too.
Yep.
Yeah, possibility. Okay, we're going to take a break. Second round of the lightning round is coming up next. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. It's our second lightning round. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Rick, you want to touch on the first thing we're talking about really quick.
Well, a lot of people ask about fertilizing the lawn and the lawns looking good or whatever else. It's at this time of the year, I like using that groundskeeper, and I talked about it earlier. But in the summertime, they have two different products. One I like using spring and fall, which is the one with phosphorus in it. It's a green bag. But in the summertime, I like using the little bit higher nitrogen. They have a 23-0 phosphorus. 3-17-3 with some sulfur and iron in it, which is the big key one that other fertilizers don't have. And so use that. Now's the time to do it. I mean, now we're in the middle of July. The fertilizers with the rains and the water you've been doing, your grass is pretty much used all that up. Mm-hmm. Fertilize now, and then you can fertilize again in the first couple of weeks of September with, again, I like turning back to the green bag with the phosphorus in it.
Okay. We got a message as well from a texture here. This is from Lorna. And maybe you want to mention that the Sask Perennial Society has garden tours today in Saskatoon. So we've got like homeowners who are sharing their space between 1 and 4. So if you're in the Saskatoon area and you want to go look at this is pretty cool.
You can find it online. You go to saskperennials.ca if you want to look up some more information there. And there's some contacts and everything like that.
Yeah, where you can get tickets and all that kind of stuff too.
There's 4 different locations today. One in Cartwright Street, Lakeshore Crescent, Shannon Crescent, and Lansdowne Avenue. So all east side locations in Saskatoon that you can get to, I believe.
And if you're interested in garden tours, there is other garden tours that are happening that are actually fundraisers as well throughout the summer season, and you can pick up tickets at the garden centers as well for those.
Let's go to the text line. It's the lightning round. Amelia in Saskatoon. When's the best time to prune back Hascap bushes? If I prune in the spring, does that affect yields for the growing season?
No. They'll produce even better because they'll put lots of growth on and then have lots of fruit.
So it's actually the opposite. Pruning in the spring is good for them. Yep. So that's the time to do it?
Early spring.
Early spring.
Like in April, as soon as you can.
Okay, there you go. Lynn is in North Battleford. I purchased 2 citrus trees, both 5-inch pots, sorry. Both are blooming, have some small fruit. Can I transplant them now to terracotta 12-inch pots? If I do that, what kind of soil do I use? Citrus with fruit on it,
Citrus with fruit, what type of soil would you use? Just a regular potting mix would be really good.
But would you transplant them now?
As long as the root ball is going to come out intact. Okay.
No, you can transplant them anytime. The only time I wouldn't transplant them is if they're in flower and ready to fruit. So it is
okay, we have the fruit already.
Oh,
right?
That's fine. Just pull it out of the pot. I wouldn't ruffle the roots or anything like that during the time, and then just put it into the new pot with the fresh soil.
Okay. So that's pretty easy. How do I get rid of white powdery mildew on my lawn? Says Ian in Saskatoon.
Quit watering at nighttime.
Oh, okay.
Bottom line. Honestly, that water in the morning, Like, so that, you know, put your timers on so they come on like at 7 a.m. or something like that. And then that way when the sun's up and it dries off the grass, but it's not too hot where it doesn't all evaporate, right? And, 6 a.m, 7 a.m. But if you're watering it nighttime all the time, you're going to get powdery mildew.
And if you, if you have powdery mildew on there, you can spray it with a garden sulfur to get rid of that, but make sure you don't do that on a really hot day.
Yep.
Okay. Alden, who's in Estevan, says we have a Valentine cherry that we transplanted last year.
Yep.
We got two issues with it. The late cold here in Estevan, I think, froze lots of the tree when it was first budding out, and we may have overwatered it. The leaves are yellow with some black spots.
Okay.
There's a picture here. Should I let it dry out and not water it for a while, or would some fertilizer help? Leaves are smaller than usual. It looks kind of rough.
Like we talk about all the time, probe the soil. Just don't make don't make some decisions on watering unless you know what is happening underneath the soil. Yeah, that looks like it's been too dry or too wet.
Right.
When you have the yellow with the black spots like that, it's been too water. It could be same symptoms, both opposite directions.
Different causes, same
different
symptoms.
Causes, okay.
Right. Okay.
And so you want to check the bottom of the hole and check with the probe the soil and see what the moisture is like, and even probe right into that root ball. Okay, and see what it's like in the root ball, and treat accordingly. If it's really, really wet, aerate. If it's really dry, water slowly.
Yep.
Pulse irrigating. Water a little bit, go away, come back, water it again, yep. Go away, do it about 3 or 4 times so that you soak it right down to the bottom of the root ball.
Angela's in Saskatoon. We're removing our lilies because of the bugs. We want to put a hosta in its place. Anything we need to do to prep the soil, will the beetles go after the hostas?
No, The beetles won't go after the hostas. But one thing is lilies usually like a sunny location.
Yeah, exactly.
And hostas like a shady location. Now, with that said, some hostas, as long as you keep them moist and get them established, they will do okay in a sunny area.
I have some in sunny areas.
Yeah.
So, yep.
I would tend to choose a variety that has a little bit more of a chartreuse color to it, like your gold standard hosta, yep, if you're doing it in more of a sunny area.
Right. Okay. That's perfect. Yeah. Brian in Saskatoon, quick question. Is there a black lace elderberry that is suitable for our zone?
Yes, it's called black lace elderberry.
Oh, okay. That's it.
It's beautiful. I love that plant.
Yeah, it's more like a more of a, I don't know, a tropical type of leaf on it and purpley pink flowers on them. Yep.
If you're comparing it to a house plant, I compare it to like a false Aurelia.
You have to take a look around. This time of the year, you might not be able to find them. You'll find them mostly in the garden centers in the spring.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have some right now too.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Also, by the way, this is a quick promo, the Honeywood Nursery.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's coming up. The Honeywood Heritage Nursery,
yeah,
right?
Out in Parkside, Saskatchewan.
Lilies in Bloom is happening July 20th. So that's next weekend, 11 to 4.
Hey, nice little run. Go out toward Blaine Lake, right?
Yep.
Go to Parkside, Saskatchewan. You go right by the Petrovka Bridge where there's an orchard there and cider and everything else. You could do a bunch of things as you head out that direction.
We drove out there last year and it was nice. They have music playing and a little festival, some great pie that you get to try. And
Hang on. No pie this year. So she says, the texture says admission is $10. Artisan displays, wagon tours of the grounds if you don't want to walk. Food with rhubarb and apple crisp, but no pies this time.
Okay, but we had the rhubarb last year and it was amazing.
But to go for the amount of different types of lilies in bloom, you got to go see it. It's all, if you haven't done it.
Yeah, really, really, really neat. Yeah, for sure, for sure. What is the best fertilizer for small shrubs, cedars, thunderchild crab, ash trees? Can you do that right now? It's Jay in Yorkton asking the question. So like for cedars, thunderchild crab, ash trees, can we fertilize them one more time?
One more time. Absolutely.
But right away.
Right, especially maple trees, you're getting a little late for them. But if you're going to do them right now, especially if you haven't fertilized them at all, I definitely fertilize them right now.
We usually suggest like 30-10-10 is the best one for...
Yep.
For the trees,
and if
trees
you don't
and
have
shrubs.
If you don't have that available, 2020.
Okay, perfect, okay. Perfect. I'm trying to see if there's any other texts we got to get to here. We pretty much got them all done. A couple that we have to get back to off the air here, but I think that's just about it. So we'll go through our text line. If we miss some, we'll make sure we get those answered. But otherwise, we got 30 seconds, guys.
Fertilizing. Get it done. Shrubs, trees, especially your baskets and your planters, right, Jill?
Yeah, make sure you're fertilizing everything. But also remember, now is the time to fertilize your trees because your maples and birches, this would be the last week you can do it before fall. And then we have probably about 2 to 3 more weeks for your other shrubs. So get out there, get some fertilizing, get some nutrients in there.
Alfalfa pellet tea for your garden. Garden, if you really want it to grow.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you same time, same place next weekend. I think we got a guest host then as well with you guys. So enjoy. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This has been Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.